We want to make waves. We want to make waves all across Pinellas County. We want to make waves of purpose and intentionality, but waves that matter, waves that transform people, waves that contribute towards positive change to make our homes, our communities, our neighborhoods better simply because we're allowing God to work through us. So this week, we're going to make waves. Maybe you're thinking it would help you to picture it this way. Bodies of water that do not have waves in them are just, to call it what it is, disgusting. Algae and swampy and gross. Waveless water is no good. And so throughout Pinellas County, we're praying that God uses us to make waves of positive change. And so maybe for this series, this is where you find yourself. Maybe you've been coming to Bridgepoint since we got started. Glad you're still here. Maybe this is your very first week. Even more excited that you're here. Maybe you find yourself somewhere in between. All of us have the opportunity to be a part of what God is about to do. And maybe you're sitting there just thinking, I'm in. Like, I believe what God's doing through Bridgepoint on every campus. Maybe you're sitting here saying, I'm proof that God's working and moving on every Bridgepoint campus. Whatever your story is, it's undeniable that the God of creation, the whole universe, is at work through us, his people. But maybe you're sitting on a campus, maybe you have no faith and you're just kicking the tires, that's great too. But a lot of us, I think, probably find ourselves in the position of, I want to be used for something. Like, I almost danced at the Fan Day video too, but like, what's my next step? What do I do to move this thing forward? What do I do to be a part of a wave? What does that look like? How can I invest myself? And I want you to know that you're not alone in asking that question. In fact, as a church, we want to be the type of people that help all people get closer to God. That's going to be our focus. That's going to be our mission. That's going to be the purpose of Fan Day and everything else that we do. But you're not alone in wondering, what's next? In fact, we follow this guy named Jesus and his closest followers back when he lived and then died and then rose from the grave, when he died on the cross and then rose from the grave, his closest people that were right up next to him, eyewitnesses to the wildness of that truth and story, that account in history, they found themselves in a room just saying, okay, Jesus came, he taught us, he's dead, but he rose again, so we know this is real, and now he's left it with us to keep working. So now what? What is the next step? Like, Jesus did some wild stuff, and so I'm ready to see Jesus keep doing wild things through me. So now what? Acts chapter 2, I want to paint a picture exactly what these folks were looking like. It was a huge Jewish festival going on, and they found themselves in this situation. When the day of Pentecost, that was the festival, when the festival arrived, they were all, this is the followers of Jesus, gathered in one place. Wild moment right here. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. I warned you it was going to get wild. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Wild, a group of people, Jesus followers, that were saying, what's our next best step? And before you get lost in the wildness that God was doing through them, I need you to understand that their end game was just to say, we're all in on this Jesus stuff. We believe it. Like, we're eyewitnesses to the fact that what this guy said was true. That when he said he would rise from the dead, he actually did that. So this is the kind of guy that's worth following. And so God, from the very beginning, recognizes that these people are going to need God's help to live out and make waves for God's purpose. So before you get distracted by how God showed up, I need everybody on every campus to understand something incredibly significant. God has had a plan to rescue the world from the beginning. This was his doing. Bridgepoint wants to be about his doing. This is not a Bridgepoint thing. This is not an individual thing. This is a God thing that we just want to be receptive to and responsive for. This group of people saw Jesus rise, and they were just kind of like, so now what do we do? As if the pressure fell totally on them. But then God showed up, because this is God's thing. This is not our thing, this is his thing. Then the pressure is off each and every one of us to feel like if we're gonna see waves in Pinellas County, then I have to do that. So how do I impact a county that's got nearly a million people in it when I'm just one person? Let me teach you a little bit about waves. In preparation for this series, I have studied waves far more than I ever thought there was science behind waves. But don't test me on it, because I forget things really easily. But one thing I learned about waves, just so you know and for the betterment of your life, most waves begin from wind. It's not something happening in the water. It's not boats. It's not a giant boulder falling into water that creates waves. It's the wind blowing across the top of the water that makes a wave. Much like when the group of people say, God, I'm willing, I'm ready for a next step. And that rushing wind, the Holy Spirit, that holy wind, if you will, started to blow, and God used them. God didn't depend on them. God used them. See the difference? If you're interested in making waves that matter in Pinellas County, then it doesn't depend on you. It's just about God wanting to use you. Are you open to that? So fast forward with me just a couple chapters in Acts. Acts chapter 4. Again, this is early church, early followers. In between the Holy Spirit showing up and the story we're about to read, an actual historical account, God's people, as his Holy Spirit arrived, began to work miracles. They healed people. They gave blind people sight. They showed up and did incredible things. It was a wild time because they were just willing servants. God, what's my next best step to do something huge for you? However, there were also religious people. And religious people all about control don't like people that are introducing freedom. So the religious people began to hear about the waves Jesus' followers were making. And look what happens and how they respond to it. Verse 8 of Acts chapter 4. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't miss it. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and the elders, if we're being examined, if you've called us in here, if you're trying to hold high court with us in this moment, here's what we want you to know. If we're being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, they healed him. By what means this man has been healed? He's right here with us. If this is why we're here, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. Not an us thing, a God thing. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Pause for just a second. That's a weighty statement. They're standing in front of religious elite, taking them to court, trying to hold them accountable as if Jesus' followers were actually doing this out of their own power. And they're standing before these religious elite saying, hold up, you're coming at us, but this is a God thing. This is a Jesus thing. And remember, he taught you about it and you rejected him. Remember, he loved you in spite of your attitude and you crucified him. Remember that there's salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. These followers of Jesus were holding nothing back, claiming nothing of their own, but just a willingness to say, we'll be honest with you. We'll tell you what's going on. God's going on. We're just willing to say, God, what's our next best step? This isn't our thing. This is God's thing. I don't want you to miss the power of it, because for some of you on every campus, maybe where you need to camp in this message is the bold statement that they just made. There is salvation in no one else. Remember, the big idea from the beginning is that this has been God's plan to rescue the world. And it doesn't take much to look around us to recognize that our world is broken and hurting. That people are empty and feel dark, and many feel hopeless, and that affects the way they live their lives, and that's not at all what God intended. And so from the beginning, God's rescue plan has been in action. And salvation, that rescue, there's no other hope. Because if that's true, if the claims that Jesus made that he would, yes, die, but that he would rise, and then if he did that, that's kind of a big deal. That's kind of a definitive statement that if you're looking for hope, if you're looking for life, if you're looking for more than the rescue that God is providing you, there's one source and one source alone, and his name is Jesus. Period. This last series, we spent some time trying to unpack it. It was a series called Here's What Matters. We covered that faith matters and following Jesus matters and you matter and unity matters because we wanted everybody on the journey this day and age headed towards Fan Day to be able to answer your questions of who am I? Because your identity is tied up into what matters, right? We wanted you to know how should I live? Because that matters. We wanted you to know that are you loved? Yes, because you matter. And that message was intended to clearly communicate it, and it did. But some of you are also asking the questions of, does my life matter? Can I actually make a difference? Can I be a part of waves and used by God? And so if you missed any of the Here's What Matters series, go back and watch that to answer all of those questions. Because some of you on every campus, you need to camp around the idea that if this is true, that there is rescue in no one else, then this is the loudest thing you need to hear from Bridgepoint today. Nothing else matters. So back to Peter and John. They're in front of this religious high court, people that are trying to hold them accountable, really trying to silence them from all the wild influence that they're gaining and all the miracles that they're performing and all the ways that God is working through them. They hold them to high court, and those guys point directly back to Jesus. And then look at the response of the religious elite. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. I don't try to pretend to insert myself into the story that often. But if I'm Peter and John, then when Luke was writing the book of Acts, I'm like, you can leave that part out. They don't need to know that they saw us as uneducated common men. You can pass by that. It looks like, no, when they said you guys were uneducated common men, they were astonished by you. Like they didn't think it was possible. I'm putting it in there. And the religious elite, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. There's the power. There's the power for uneducated common men. There's the power for folks that want to say, I just want to do something big for you, God, but how could you use somebody like me? And nobody on any campus am I suggesting that you are uneducated or common. But here's what I am suggesting, is that for somebody like me, that is so solidly average in so many ways. I even put it on my Insta bio because I believe it that much. The power for people like me is when I spend my time with Jesus. The power to in order to be a part of what God's doing is not through me, it's through him because I spend time with him. And I love the power of this verse, that these religious leaders were astonished. They were anti all that was going on, and they're looking at these two guys as if they're superheroes. But what they came to the conclusion of is that, man, these guys are just uneducated common folk. And they're making waves. They're doing something wild. Because remember, God has had a plan to rescue the world from the beginning, but here's what I want you to know. He planned to use you. Let me give you a little peek behind the curtain into what it's like to be a pastor. A lot of people believe that because I am a pastor, I have this extra line to God that gives me a little more access or a little more insight, right? hey, Tyler, can you pray about this? It was like, I can, but are you praying about it? Yeah, but don't you have like 300 and up and down related to God? It's a higher speed, something. Like he tunes into your line just a little bit closer, something like that. And I just so badly wish that I could put my wife up here and she could be like, uneducated common really does sound like. But that would hurt my feelings, so I'm not going to put her up here. But it's like, it's just the occupational hazards. So when I gather with my life group, anytime we're hanging out and we're going to eat a meal, like we're all standing around the food, and then everybody knows, okay, it's time to pray. And so as everybody's standing around the food, they just kind of like, this is you, your thing, right? Except for Lori, credit to Lori, she prays when I'm around. Or how about at Thanksgiving meal, I'm standing with all of my family as we get to celebrate, and it's like, oh, we have so much to be thankful for. Let's pray. Tyler? That somehow, when I went to preacher school, that suddenly gave me a little closer access, or at least it cleaned out the clogs in that line between me and God. And I wish so badly that I could tell you that that's not true. I know a lot of you think, man, it must be nice to be a pastor. You're that close to God. You work only one day a week. This is like living the dream. And again, I wish I could put my wife up here and she could say, well, he's gone more than one day a week, so he better be working more than that. But if I could let you peek behind the curtain to the occupational hazard, is that there are some times when I'm interacting with people that don't know me as a pastor, that I almost hesitate to tell them that I am one because of how that naturally puts up walls or these expectations about me as being anything different than you guys because I'm a pastor. And so for me, I look at the potential of you, of every one of you at Bridgepoint that does not work for a church, and I'm just like, make a wave because I can't. And in fact, a lot of people have it in their minds that it's the pastor's job to do all of this, that it's the pastor's job to do ministry, it's the pastor's job to reach people, it's the pastor's job to influence, when actually Scripture says that my role is actually to equip or prepare you guys to do that. That's what I'm here to do. That's what we're all here to do. And yes, while I will let you down, my hope above everything else that you ever hear from me is a desire and a belief deep down inside of me that you can make a wave in Pinellas County and beyond. Not because of you, but because I really believe that Jesus wants to use uneducated common folk like us. I hope Seminole, Clearwater, and downtown are cheering because Tyrone's like, interesting thought. got a couple people that are coming around. God has had a plan to rescue the world from the beginning, and it takes getting a seminary degree. God has had a plan from the beginning to rescue the world, but you have to be able to be on stage and religiously elite. I'm not those things. I have a piece of paper that says I went to preacher school, but God has had a plan to rescue the world from the beginning, and he planned to use us. Let's make some waves. You see, the religious leaders were beginning to get frustrated because these guys were clearly nothing special. These guys were clearly not even as elite and studied as they were, but God was using them for wildly significant, life-changing, heart-transforming things. And so the religious elite decided, here's what we got to do. We're going to have to silence them. So here was their response to Peter and John. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, we got to stop this life-change stuff. Let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. I don't care if they keep talking. Peter and John can keep talking. Those are uncommon men, average. But tell them not to talk about Jesus. Tell them not to talk about that name, because that's the common denominator we're seeing in all these waves. So they called them and they charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. We've had enough. You guys go live your lives, but don't go riling people up. Don't go doing all this stuff in Jesus' name. And I love Peter and John's response. Peter and John answered them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you judge. We cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. We can't help it. If this Jesus stuff that we literally gave our lives to, like we were eyewitnesses to him, if it wasn't real, we wouldn't waste anybody's time. But it is. And we can't help but talk about how good this God is. We can't help but talk about the people whose lives are totally different because of that man. We can't help but go around and just say, man, I know you're struggling, but let me tell you a story about a guy that I know that has helped other people through this. Whether it's right by the law or not to listen to what you guys are saying, you judge that. But we can't not talk about Jesus. Because the whole from the beginning, God has had a plan. Remember, it's his doing. God has had a plan to rescue the world from the beginning. He planned to use you. How? Speaking about what you've seen and heard. Don't make it harder than you need to. This is not going and forcing anything down anybody's throat. This is not, I can only be your friend if you believe what I believe. This is not pinning people down and saying, you need to follow Jesus. This is just saying, God, what's my next best step? And for me, I can't help but talk about what Jesus is doing in my life and in the life of my friends. I can't help but speak about it. It's working. People are changing. This is wild. Let me give you a little more scientific info about waves, because I know you all want to impress your friends at the cocktail parties with wave information, right? So here's what that'll look like. Did you know that in a wave, when it starts, again, waves travel thousands of miles, and they only stop until they either run out of room or they meet something that causes them to stop, right? Typically land. But in that wave, as it's traveling thousands and thousands of miles, it's actually not the water that's churning all that way. That's not the wave. It's actually the energy created by that holy wind, the wind blowing across the wave that causes energy to move through the water. The water itself is actually only rising up when the energy passes and then falling back as it goes back down. The water isn't churning. The water isn't moving. The water simply says, hey, here comes some energy. I'm going to rise up because that's my part, and then I'll sit back down because it's not my part to take it any further. You don't see any waves that have any water that has energy coming and about to pass through it that says, all right, it's not my job to keep moving, but I'm not feeling this wave, so I'll pass. Well, waves don't have gaps in the middle of them of water that just says, not rising up for this part. It's energy that's passing through those waves that's causing the water to rise up and then bob right back down, almost in a counterclockwise direction, and it returns right where it was. The water really doesn't travel with that energy. Is it possible that God, through his Holy Spirit, that holy wind, is beginning to move in the life of our church, just looking for willing people that will rise up and not try to tackle the whole world and place the whole world on their shoulders, but look for the one conversation or the one person or the one moment that we can talk about what we've seen and heard, where we will actively focus on the ones and trust God with the zeros? What does it look like for your family to rise up and say, let me tell you about what I've seen Jesus do? What would it look like for your friends? What would that mean with your associates, in your neighbors, your neighborhoods, on your clubs and your teams, the sports that you do, the schools that you attend? What does it look like for you not to try to change the whole world, but just to remind yourself that all the wisdom I have to have is just to talk about what I've seen and heard, because that's the difference that God wants to use. Let me give you a challenge. Everybody on every campus, for this week of waves, here's the challenge I want to give you. What's your story with God? Write it out. When's the last time you thought about your story? About what you've seen and heard God do? About the life change that you've witnessed, the difference that he's made? Because some of us just take it for granted that he is working and moving, but we never put the intentionality to saying, I really have seen something wild here. I really am seeing people at my church that God is changing their lives. What's your story with God? Do you have one? This week, I'm challenging you, write that story down. And then the next 2 weeks, tell it. Post it to social media. Find somebody that you can just say, I got to tell you what I've seen and heard. Don't make it harder than it needs to be. Please, please don't make it weird. Just get busy saying, you know what? There's energy here. God's moving here. I'm going to rise up and play my part, and then I'll sit back and trust him with the rest. What's your story? So the religious elite in Acts, they tell Peter and John, stop talking about Jesus. Go on your way. Stop talking about him. They said, we can't help but talk about him. They're threatening their lives. They're beginning to say, if you keep this up, you're going to face consequences for this. So Peter and John, in response, they huddle back up with all the believers of Jesus, and they're saying, hey, it's getting difficult. they are not big fans of ours right now, so let's pray about it. And they didn't start praying, God, help us to hide. Help us to be a little bit sneakier about how we present this. Help us to play our part, but to be really, really careful. I want you to see what Peter and John and the followers of Jesus prayed right after they were told, stop it. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. We're going to rise up. We're going to make a wave. We're going to be bold about it. We're not going to hide about it. We're not going to be weird about it. We're not going to try to dance around the truth, because in reality, our experience is our experience. So we're going to go tell that story, because from the very beginning of time, God has had a plan to rescue the world from the beginning. He planned to use you speaking about what you've seen and heard boldly. That's it. It's not about the right answers. It's not about seminary degrees. It's not about whether you can deliver a sermon. It's just a matter of, have you seen God work on your campus? Have you seen God work in your life? Have you seen God do things that made no sense and change people that you thought were not changeable? Have you seen him show up and breathe life and people find hope and people be accepted and loved? Because that's the work of God's Spirit. The question is simply, are you going to rise up and trust God to make the wave throughout Pinellas County that he's calling us to be a part of? Boldly.